Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. I'm here with Tony Altimore, a business consultant, and he does a lot of business strategies, and he has a lot of experience in working pro bono with some undergrad fraternities that are trying to get back on campus after dealing with hazing incidents. So we thought we would bring him on to talk a little bit about what's going on at Northwestern. I would like to put a couple disclaimers in this. You know, when you're in these situations, you can that are very sad, you can either laugh or cry. Sometimes we choose to laugh. We don't take this very lightly at all. We think it's very serious. And we also don't have any inside information. So if you think you're going to get inside information on what's going on at Northwestern, that's not it. But we will talk a little bit about some of the ways that hazing gets dealt with and how similar type of organizations have tried to make their way back into normal college life after incidents like this. So if you want to just hold on for a second, we'll be right back with Tony Altimore. Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by broadcasting on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. We have over 20 stations, including stations in Chicago, St. Louis, Champaign, Decatur, Springfield, Bloomington, the Quad Cities, Rockford, Peoria, Marion, Quincy, and Jacksonville, amongst others. You can reach over 11 million people in the state of Illinois by partnering with us. Send me an email, mike@IlliniGuys.com, and let's find a way that we can build your business together. Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is a little bit of a special episode here. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley, and we're joined by Tony Altimore, who is a strategy consultant who has worked with companies across the spectrum for years. And we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on up at Northwestern. Look, you know, there may be a moment where, you know, you deal with really horrible things with humor, because that's a way to try to just deal with what you're seeing. And I don't want to at all look like we're trying to go after the school or, you know, basically, there is a due process question that will need to be answered as these allegations, you know, are out there. And it's a serious subject. At the same time, there's a lot of very interesting, you know, dilemmas that need to be resolved by the school as they rapidly approach the football season, which is the revenue driver for college sports, you know, in general, and the Big Ten and Northwestern in particular. So I am going to welcome Tony Altimore. Folks who are fans of Big Sports Radio or the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular have heard Tony on there multiple times. He's one of our favorite guests. And when Tony and I get to chatting, it can get a little bit long-winded, but we're going to have some fun here. Tony, just I know there's a million directions you could go, but as a strategy consultant, Where do you go first?
So my first thought, so for you guys would have no way of knowing this. I actually for 20 years have been a volunteer, a national board member, a advisor, and do a lot of pro bono work to support an undergraduate fraternity. And so I've worked with lots and lots and lots of groups around the country who've had I don't deal with their problem time, but I help them deal with the rebuilding after they have had hazing problems with universities and usually been kicked off. And so I've seen the aftermath of these events and worked with schools, including worked with our student group at Northwestern University, who has had a lot of, I think twice since I graduated college, they've been kicked off or something for misbehavior. So I think I've worked with them twice in Northwestern.
Wow. So it takes a while to stick.
Well, the thing is so if, first of all, let's look at, if we think about what happened in Northwestern, let's be clear, guys, when we say hazing, we're talking about sexual assault. We're talking about, I'm going to be very crass, but I won't get you demonetized, but we're talking about group locker room humping in masks. We're talking about naked shower car wash, which involves everybody spinning around, dingling, swinging, and you got to go through all the guys. Like, I mean, a lot of the stuff that went on, it was abuse, it was harassment, it was sexual assault. So we're going to call it hazing, you know, because that's the right word. But it is, we are talking about the accusations, which have been vetted by 11 players. So there was an accusation by some people that it was only one player. No, it was 11 players have confirmed the harassment and hazing and sexual assault. The university and its lawyers have confirmed it was naked and sexual and all kinds of things. I mean, we're talking like forcing like the freshmen to take naked snaps up in each other's crotches. And I mean, just unacceptable behavior. Yeah. The stuff that, again, any other student would get kicked out of Northwestern. So here's what would normally happen. If this was a student organization, if this was a fraternity, the organization would be kicked off for 5 years until every member had graduated. Then the students involved would be subjected to discipline procedures for hazing and sexual assault on campus. A lot of them would transfer away from the school. If this were any sport other than football, and we've seen this with lots of sports around the country, you don't hear about it a lot, but it does happen. So it happened at New Mexico State last year. In the middle of the season, I believe it was a hazing thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, the basketball program.
The basketball team. So they just, in February or January, when it became up, they just canceled the season. That really is what should happen here. Because the problem is, it's not just the coaches. So the coaches are responsible. 100%. But the players did it.
Yeah.
Like the players are the ones who did it. You know, if you got in the shower and swung your ding-a-ling to hit other people, assuming that that is what happened, again, the lawyers have confirmed that these are the types of things that went on, then you did that. And you need to be held accountable for that as a player. And if you did that, you have no place on a Big Ten football field playing against Illinois. You have no place, at Northwestern University. Northwestern is an awesome school. The people at Northwestern are some of the best people I have ever known in my life. My friends who went to the Kellogg School are literally some of the greatest people I've ever known in my life. So this has no place at Northwestern. And good people can do dumb stuff. Yeah. You know, this is the thing, guys. Again, the kids that I've worked with at these schools, I've gotten to know some of the kids who did some terrible stuff. And we're just wrecked by it inside. Like, and they were great people. So Pat Fitzgerald I'm told he's a phenomenal guy. People talk about him as a great leader. Absolutely. But he has failed. He failed to protect these kids from sexual assault. I mean, see, it's really the same debate about that we had at Penn State. You've had it at Ohio State. We've seen these types of things around the country. So this is not new. And it's really sad. So I mean, our first question is, what do they do? Again, any other sport, you would just cancel the season. Here, you've got tens of millions of dollars on the line. You've got 90,000 people coming to see Northwestern play Nebraska. I don't know, Mike. What do you think? Do you cancel the season?
Giving a bye to those teams who are. Northwestern on the schedule. Everything in me
by the way, this is an awful team, so it might as well be a bye.
Well, but it's still, you know, there's a part of me that goes against that, saying, you know, the players who, you know, if there are, you know, innocents, the guys who tried to get away from it, you know, maybe should be allowed to play. I would probably go back and look at precedent. But boy, you're looking, when you look at the Big Ten and you look at the different networks, not broadcasting those games is going to really, I mean, you talk about putting your money where your mouth is. There's going to be a lot of compensation, whether it's free ads somewhere else or paybacks. You know, if you lose, you know, 9 Big Ten games out of that contract. That's a chunk.
Plus the non-conference games.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that, you know, I guess in nowadays world, you know, it's not like the old days, every single game is on TV. So that means you got 12 sets of makeups for a game that's three and a half hours long with, you know, 2-minute breaks.
And Skybox is sold all over the conference.
Yeah.
You know, people, your fans have made trips. So, you know, it becomes a money. And Mike, and we were talking a little before, you brought up the point of, I mean, so the obvious answer, which is probably what's going to have to happen, is they're going to have to figure out what players are responsible and get them off the team. Probably it's going to be a lot of your older guys. Going to be your seniors and your team leaders, which means you're dealing with a baby team who's inexperienced and brand new coaches. They're going to get killed. And yeah. Mike pointed out as we were chatting, like, is this a health and safety issue? I mean, yeah. And the other thing is too, is, and let's, I don't know who we can pick on. Let's pick on Illinois. Illinois is a great school, but like if Illinois really needed to scrounge some people out of the transfer portal, you could do it. These Northwestern kids have got to have 1350 SATs or 1400 SATs. So, you know, Northwestern can't just go out and find anybody.
Right.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah. The thing is there's, you're fraught with peril on any way that you go on this. You have the massive monetary, which look, we're not trying to say money is above everything else, but there are bills that have to be paid, so to speak. So you have to at least look at that part of it. The other thing is you have players that you want to protect and they should be safe. And I'll tell you what, there's not anything much scarier in the Big Ten than putting, you know, 11 inexperienced players up against that Iowa defense that's so good and then expecting something bad not to happen.
This is a game. I hook and score offensive touchdowns against whatever 18-year-olds Northwestern's able to throw out there.
Yeah, if Brian Farrens may be able to make his bonus in one game.
I
had 180 points, you know, that week at Northwestern.
Just that
his offense was clicked.
It's true. We don't mean to make. I mean. We laugh because we, you know, it helps us cope with a sad situation. But
yeah, you either laugh or you cry, right?
You either laugh or you cry, and it's sad. Whoa, my little light just exploded there. Sorry about
folks,
that.
Things got a lot brighter for Toby.
A lot brighter. The light came on. But it's just a sad circumstance for Northwestern and sad for the Big Ten. I mean. And another thing, too, is the Big Ten has dealt with sexual problems. And I think that, you know, the patience has worn out in the conference in a lot of ways as well. So this is going to have to be dealt with. And now Northwestern, I mean, I don't know what you do. Do you try to cobble it together with some acting players and an acting coach and whatever, and then just replace them all at the end of the year?
It's a tough one. And, you know, ultimately you look at this and I think the area that you've got to really look at is, you know, you've got a couple things going on. One is there's got to be a due process for these players because we have found, let's be honest. We've found in the past, there are incidences that were reported horrifically early on, didn't have quite this level of corroboration, but you know, that it turned out that things were not as they looked.
Yeah.
So due process is an important component of this. How do you manage a season during this due process? You know, it's just people don't understand, you know, what it means to compete in the Big Ten unless, you know, you're either around these athletes a lot or you're one of these athletes. And to stay in prime physical condition and to be focused on a group of opponents week in and week out that wants to defeat you as much as they possibly can. And you have to do that while you're being deposed, while you're trying to go to classes at one of the more difficult universities in the country. And you're working on making sure that you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
And I mean, and you're also dealing with the fact that, like, let's be honest, the entire Duke student section is going to be in like beige Speedos and purge masks, you know, harassing you. Like, it will be brutal for, you know, for those players. I mean, it's this is going to stick around for years.
Yeah.
And so just, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly for the school. And you have, I mean, you have a president now, the president. And the other thing is too, is the athletic department. I don't know if you also heard there are now racial harassment problems that have come out.
Yes.
Significant racial issues. The baseball team today was reported as toxic workplace complaints against the baseball team. So the whole Northwestern athletic department is, and I'll tell you guys, when this stuff happens, because again, I've seen this in organizations, I've seen it all. When it, you know, the phrase, when it rains, it pours, but people pile on.
Right, exactly. You know, anybody, which we're seeing, yes.
Yeah. Anybody that ever had a problem is going to pile it on here. I know Illini fans are not shedding as many tears as other folks to see a little doom for Northwestern.
You know, I will tell you, though, that going to the Illini guys boards and stuff, that, you know, look, Fitzy beat the snot out of Illinois more often than not. But, you know, you look at this and it's more, you know, you just, you don't really know what to do. It's kind of overwhelming. You know, you want to beat your opponents on the field fair and square.
You don't want this to happen.
Yeah. You don't want this to happen. And to be honest with you, you know, I read one of the kids who was in, or one of, now he's obviously a man, but who had counseling issues long after this, and he took him 5 years before he was able to watch a football game after he graduated. And I think about a kid and the excitement that you have when you watch a kid with his mom and dad on either side and his high school coach as he's signing that letter that he's going to go play at Northwestern or any other school. It doesn't have to be. And that excitement that he had of going there. And then the fact that that choice worked out in such a fashion that 4 years later, he was happy to be gone and he wouldn't watch football for another 5 years.
Sad.
And you read that and your heart goes out. Now people go, oh, he didn't watch football. Look, I understand that there's tragedies worse in life, but you don't measure it by, well, you know, it wasn't as bad as the guys who tried to go down and look at the Titanic. You know, you don't measure everything against the worst possible thing. But when you think about it, let's pivot that.
And also, nobody forced them.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Well, and you think about it, if it was your son or your daughter who got put into a situation like that, and because of the peer pressure, because of the pressure, because of a lot of things, for whatever reason, weren't able to get themselves free of that. And you think to yourself, my goodness, you know, you just, it's hard to believe. And how the heck does hazing, which kind of starts off as, oh, you know, this is some tradition that'll make you tougher. How does it end up with
where
the
they
car
ended
wash?
Up.
Yeah. How does that happen?
And that's the hard thing, because what happens a lot of times is thing starts off and it's stupid or it's funny or it's mildly problematic, you know, and it not a big deal. And then right. The next year they do something else that's a little bit more. And the next year they do something else that's a little bit more. And then the next year they take it to a new level. And so the thing is too, it with when kids think about what's a tradition, you know, and we see this in fraternities all the time, right? So yep. It's a 2-year lifespan. Right. Because the freshmen are oblivious and don't know what's happening. And the seniors are usually like off in a little bit of la la land. So it's being run by the juniors, the sophomores and the juniors. And so you're looking at a 2-year lifespan of when they think of we've always done X.
Right.
Well, no, you haven't. You did it one time. You did it last year. Or, oh, yes, you did it last year. And you did one other thing the year before. And you actually don't know what happened before that. So how this stuff could explode over a period of time, but this Northwestern has found that this stuff occurred over many years, and Coach Fitzgerald, who may be a phenomenal guy, and I think he is a phenomenal guy, I greatly respected him, and as have the entire Northwestern community. I got bad news for you. He certainly had some idea that this stuff was going on. You cannot beat a head coach for 17 years, and this kind of crap, this degree of crap is going on for many years, and you have no idea. I mean, and I understand, because one of the other things with a head coach is that you have to give the locker room space as head coach. There has to be some degree of space, but this kind of stuff can't happen in that space. And it was interesting. I was actually talking to my dad about it. My dad played for Duffy at Michigan State. And my dad was thinking about this. And he said, heck, in 1966, he's like, we were never alone in the locker room. Between GAs and equipment managers and custodians and towel people and coaches and scouts. He's like, I can't. He was thinking about it. He said, I can't ever think of a time in 1966 that we were alone in the locker room. And if you think about how many people are involved in a football program today relative to 1966, how many, I mean, you should see the USC, well, there's probably 300 people that work for USC football, you know, as far as scouts and analysts and you know, all the training staff and the nutritionists. I mean, these people are around. And for this degree of stuff to be going on, it had to permeate the department. You cannot get away with this stuff in secret.
Do you think one of the shoes that could drop is that they weren't necessarily alone when these things?
Oh, there's no way. I've seen their locker room facility. That type of thing takes a zillion equipment managers and people and GA who didn't speak up.
Right.
And so that then you start to get also with some real interesting questions, which we can't answer here, you and I, which is to what ethical degree. So first of all, your first question is going to be the people that were okay with it, that kind of allowed it or that actually pushed it have to go. Players, coaches, whoever. But then there's another level of like equipment managers who didn't say anything. And what's their responsibility?
Yeah, and that is a tough one. I mean, let's also branch out for a second here, because this could have went away as just, oh yeah, coach, you know, kids were being kids. Coach got a 2-week suspension. What about this?
It almost did.
Exactly. What about this intrepid group of Northwestern journalists? This is not, you know, somebody from the Chicago Tribune, but,
yeah,
but
North, students.
Yes, students who were digging around and found this.
Well, so first of all, there are four schools in this country: Mizzou, Columbia, Syracuse, and most of all, pretty much the number one journalism school on the planet, Northwestern. The Medill School at Northwestern, and Mike knows this, but for anybody, you guys who don't know, the Medill School at Northwestern is like the most esteemed elite journalism school probably in the world, I would say. Okay. In fact, it's a joke that people are like, oh, if you meet someone from Medill, don't worry. They'll tell you in the first 2 seconds. You know, I mean, it's if you're not a Medill student, you know, and you talk, it's sort of like Wharton students get that same criticism. I'll be honest. And so do HBS. But the Medill School is world class. And so like, if you're going to do boneheaded things, you can get away with it maybe at Auburn, but you absolutely are not going to get away with that little like half-hearted, oh, there was some hazing problems and we had Art Fox do a 6-month. That's the other thing is, by the way, guys, this didn't just come out. Art Fox has had lawyers crawling through that football team for 6 months of investigation. So this didn't just come out.
So where does, so you've got a group of intrepid journalists who probably will, this will be a feather in their cap. Let's be honest. I mean,
the New York Times is already, well, the New York Times is probably laying people off, but wherever, these kids are going to have good jobs.
Yeah. And but yet at considerable risk to themselves, because this couldn't have been popular. And, you know, I don't know the size of, these journalism students, but compared to a defensive lineman or an offensive lineman, there could be problems if you ran into them in the wrong.
Although it is Northwestern, you might, the journalists might be bigger.
No, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So there was some risk for them both, and socially, you know,
huge social risk.
Yeah. Because they might have, you know, Northwestern students very angry at them for
a small school.
Yeah.
And it's a school too, where the athletes, which is actually one of the wonderful things about Northwestern, is that the student athletes at Northwestern are very much a part of the student community.
Yeah.
What's heartbreaking about this too, is if you had a kid, you brought this up, you know, sign your, to have your kid go to Northwestern, to be a part of the Northwestern community, to play for Coach Fitz, who has been, you know, just like Coach Paterno. There's so many echoes of Coach Paterno in this, who is somebody. So I've actually, we could do a whole podcast in this. I've done a lot of historical research on like the role that Joe Paterno played in the evolution of football and the strategy of getting us to where we are, and just so much respect for him, but then also the horrific things that happened under his watch. And this is almost worse, because like that was a like very kind of isolated, weird, one criminal thing. And this was the team.
Yeah.
This was the whole team doing this stuff.
Yeah. And it just leaves us, folks, as we're talking here again, it just, you know, we kind of, we're discovering a little bit ourselves as you think through this. And it is something that you wish had never happened, because you would this football season is going to be one of the great ones, as it's the last year prior to USC and UCLA showing up.
So next year's the great one.
It will be. Next year will be.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, you know, and Tony is a USC guy, so we got to give
him
his props.
We're excited. By the way, USC football team has started doing the freshman photo shoots in Big Ten jerseys.
There we are. That's the way it should be. So, so, you know, it's just a season we would all prefer to be looking at, you know, as Illini fans, we would like to be looking at that Saturday game as a game that, you know, is against your arch rival. You're there wanting to do everything you can to win that game. You want to win it fair and square, and you do want to win it by a lot.
Yeah, but you don't want to win it against the Bad News Bears.
Yes.
You don't want to win it against whatever freshman didn't haze.
Right.
I mean, I'll be interested. So I understand they have appointed their defensive coordinator or whatever as the, like, day-to-day liaison as they assess, I forget the phrase they use, as they, you know, determine what the team leadership will be for this season. I mean, I would guess, if I think pragmatically, right, like if I was in the athletic department staff there, and I don't know the degree of the accusations, which is a very important thing to know.
Right.
But so I'm just guessing here. I mean, I would guess that they try to find a way to limp through the season and then just replace everybody.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Illinois has some experience with Coach Beckman, who lost his job for mistreatment of players, not on a scale anywhere approaching this. And, you know, he has been unable to really generate anything in terms of going back to the anywhere near where he was.
No. And this will be, these coaches, this will be pretty bad for, because, you know, when schools look at this, the sexual assault on school premises is just a level that schools are not willing to encounter. So, for example, if I was at USC and somebody said, oh, we've got the former Northwestern O-line coach, I'd be like, no, just no.
Yeah. Why bring that risk into the family?
I don't want it. He thought it was okay. I don't want it.
Right.
Yeah, there. Get another O-line coach. It's USC. We can get anybody. So, you know, I mean, that's the kind of thing. I mean, that this will be a problem. But at the same time, you know, you made your bed and you got to lay in it.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And, you know, it is.
They didn't not know this was happening.
I agree. And like I said, we'll see the due process. But when you're looking at 11 people who've already corroborated the story,
enough one, of the story.
Yeah.
It's not in debate.
Yeah.
You had lawyers crawling around there for 6 months. What's wild is that they tried to shove it off into a 2-week suspension.
Well, does anybody lose their job over that?
That's a real good question. I mean, and so President Schill, the other thing too is by the way, they mucked up their last athletic director mess, and they just have a brand new athletic director. So you have a fairly new athletic director already. You mucked up your other one through some other scandals. So you've got a mess. You have a brand new president who is probably very aligned with the board. Are you familiar with the problems that they had with the president transition?
No, I am not.
So Morty Shapiro, my freshman econ teacher, who was amazing. It was Dean Shapiro at the time. Then he became president of Williams and president of Northwestern. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal president. Was retiring, and Northwestern hired Becky Blank, who was the chancellor at Wisconsin, and hired her like a year early. She was going to cut, you know, so she could do the whole like presidential transition over like a year, which was awesome. She was on the Big Ten board, which I think she was keeping her Big Ten board seat, you know, as she switched from Wisconsin to Northwest. It was really cool. And tragically, about a month before she was supposed to take over, was diagnosed with a stunning, rapid, awful cancer and almost immediately passed away before taking over as president of Northwestern. And so their number two from their president search was Dr. Schill, or Professor Schill. I think he's a PhD. I don't know. Michael Schill from Northwestern, who was the president of Oregon. I'm sorry, from Oregon. He was the president of Oregon, and before that was dean of the law school at UChicago and at UCLA. Wow. So he came in like, I mean, we're talking like pack your bags and come today kind of a thing, which is why Oregon's presidential search was in such a lurch for almost a year. So he's only been on that job for 8 months and has come in and again, dean of the law school at Northwestern or at UChicago and UCLA. So he's not going to mess around with this. And I mean, this again, it's not a good time to be.
If he doesn't get caught up in it.
I mean, he's so new. This has gone on for years.
Right. But the lawyers have been there for 6 months. You got
so he has said in his letter today that, or his letter this evening,
right,
that he only learned of the full details over the weekend. Which makes sense, by the way. When you're at that level, like you have somebody come, the lawyers make a presentation, and the lawyers probably said there was some evidence of hazing, blah, blah, blah. And again, he's been at universities for his whole career, right? You've heard
hear hazing, and
he's seen fraternities get kicked off, and probably didn't appreciate how bad it was or how long it had gone on until those. And I love how you called them journalists instead of student journalists, because they are full on. They may be students, but they're full on journalists until the journalists from the Northwestern Daily or whatever it's called ripped out the details. And the statement he wrote was really interesting. And a couple of my friends who work in very higher ed said they think he wrote that. This, you know, the Midnight Saturday statement.
Yeah.
In fact, one of my friends who works in higher ed said first of all, he's like, this was not written by a PR person, like at all. And second, he said, I don't know about from the sentence structure or the words, but he said, this is written by a lawyer trying not to sound like a lawyer. And yeah. I was like, you mean like Michael Schill, maybe? So, it wouldn't surprise me if that late night statement, if he wrote that himself, where he said, you know, we're reassessing the penalty. And then, of course, today, I mean, you figure they made the decision quickly on set. They probably knew when they sent that statement out, he was going to have to go. And you imagine they've been with the lawyers all day today, because the school is going to be writing checks from this.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Make no mistake. The school is going to be writing big checks from this. So it's not good. And they're also trying to build a brand new stadium with a whole bunch of NIMBYs like after them about it. So like none of this is good. And they weren't going to be good at all anyway. So My hope is that they rebuild.
Right.
New team, new coaches. And in the era of the transfer portal, I mean, quite honestly, if you could dangle out Northwestern, be like, come to the Big Ten and rebuild North. And I don't know, you go out and get, like, let's think about somebody. Look, I mean, heck, guys, look what Troy Taylor's doing at Stanford. Have you been following that?
Yeah.
Stanford right now is the number 13 recruiting class in the country.
Right.
Like,
but Troy they may have gotten all the good athletes at the 1400.
At the 1400 SAT level. They might have. But, you know, go get them. Be like, hey, are you a backup somewhere who really likes Shakespeare? Come to Northwestern. Dangle to Medill school. If you're a J school major, we'll get you, we'll put you in Medill. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they could do to try to rebuild that. And thankfully for the transfer portal, you can maybe do that.
Yeah. See what Dion's next step is after Colorado.
Okay. The thought of Dion at Northwestern is both hysterical
and scary. And
kind of awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you would all of a sudden you've got Northwestern just crawling with incredible athletes and an energy that nobody has ever seen before.
If I was like a really smart high school kid, Dion was Northwestern, you bet I'd go.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I would totally do that. I love Dion. I mean, you guys have seen us on our podcast. We often talk about the Colorado is not going to be good this year. Neither is Northwestern. But I love Coach Prime, and I think he's a really neat guy, and I hope he has a lot of success. But I'm loving this thought. That would be really fun.
I tell you, as a longtime Cowboy fan, I really was like, I was never thrilled with paying a cornerback that much money. But what you had to do when you watched the Cowboys over that era is it was amazing how one player could shut off a third of the football field. And when they talk about these, like they talk about people being a cover corner, there has not been a cover corner since Dion retired, because nobody, maybe this guy shut out the receiver that he was against. Dion didn't do that. Dion shut the field. Off the field.
Dion and Woodson, those two.
Well, yeah, Dion never hit like Woodson did. But I was amazed as a Cowboy fan, you know, because, again, I'm still saying that they didn't have to tie up that much money in one player. But for what he did on a field, I've never seen it before or since.
Yeah, but, he's great.
But, yeah, so anyway, so as we kind of close this off, what does the due process look like? And what do you think if you're going to just speculate, we know that you don't.
Yeah, we're purely contact. Speculating. You know, I don't have any insight of it. So typically, again, in a school, so you have two questions. First of all, one of your questions is going to be, is there going to be a legal situation here? We have sexual assault. My guess would be Northwestern being Northwestern, the details being very private, players being players. My guess would be that the legal stuff could probably be settled without prosecution charges. You know, and people can think that's right or wrong. It's probably debatable, but my guess would be that they will get out of this without, you know, hazing prosecutions would be, again, purely my guess. I could be wrong.
Right.
So now you have an issue of the school and the team. And I mean, and they've done these interviews and stuff like that. Now that this has happened, my guess would be you'll have a second round of whistleblower floodgates open. Now that he's gone and the war path is on, the finger pointing will start. That's what typically happens. They closed ranks. The players lied about it in a letter that they supposedly was signed by the entire football team, which first of all,
anytime I see the words entire football team, I'm immediately skeptical.
Yeah. Especially in a world of lawyers investigating. Yeah. We knew that. That was one of the moments where I was like, oh, this is not going to end well. I've seen this from fraternities. Signed the entire fraternity. You know it's going to blow up then. So, yeah, you'll probably a lot of finger pointing back and forth. And then they will have to decide, you know, what's in the athletic department, what is going to go to the school judicial board. I would guess you're going to have a lot of people transfer out. at the school's suggestion. So if you're a Northwestern fan, when you, by the way, when you hear so-and-so is transferring out, the odds are pretty good that they're being pushed out. Now, you're also going to have predatory stuff. I mean, that's the sad thing is, so whoever is still good in that team, you know, I mean, this is what killed Colorado, right? Colorado right. has some pretty good players. Yep. And today they all play for USC and Michigan and where, I don't know where else they all transferred. We got a couple of really good ones. And I was like, oh, that guy came from Colorado. Yeah. They're like, yeah, he was one of their two good players.
Right.
And so, yeah, the players that are pretty good will all of a sudden find enticing offers. Cause one of the other rules is you're able to transfer no penalty with the head coaching change.
Right.
We got a head coaching change.
Do you think there could be like, for instance, if let's say you were a kid who's committed, you know, to sign this November, you're going to graduate in 2024 in the spring, or you're going to graduate early and try to join the team in January. Are you reopening your recruitment now?
It depends. Will Troy Taylor or Mike Elko take my calls? I'm assuming if I'm going to Northwestern that I'm not good enough for USC or UCLA or Michigan. So will Stanford or Duke take my calls? If so, I mean, because you know that, and this is the problem, is you don't know right now who the new coach is. We're assuming that
right.
That they're going to have to do some kind of a patch. And my guess would be that they will close ranks. Now, if I was Dr. Schill, I would say, you know what, let's go hire a temporary staff and like imagine that I'm like cobbling together We Are Marshall or something.
Right.
Probably not what's actually going to happen. I would assume that what they will do is, I mean, there'll be some more firings, but whoever's left, they'll probably cobble this staff together. And it'll be dead man walking until the end of October. However, you know, then you go out and if you're Northwestern, if you do this right and you get Michael Schill and Pat Ryan together, I mean, this is the guy that hired Mario and hired Dan Lanning. So, I mean, this is a guy who can hire good football coaches. So, you know, my guess would be maybe they go out and maybe you do it early. You know, maybe you hire a coach in waiting. I mean, one of the things, and I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often. Texas Tech did this with Joey McGuire. They hired him like mid-season. I mean, there were still a bunch of games to go, and they hired him mid-season. USC still had, 2 weeks on the season left when they hired Lincoln Riley? Or a year? Like, one of the things that sort of surprised me that the schools aren't doing is, like, doing more of this, like, you know, name your coach when you get him and just, like, turn them loose and write off the season. So maybe they'll do something like that.
Well, I was thinking former Navy coach, you know, I'm going to kill his last name, but
yeah.
Numa,
you bring him in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's now the, the director of leadership at UCLA.
He'd be a great coach.
Spectacular, you know, and you know that he understands what it's like to have to get a very rare breed of individual, because he was coaching at the Naval Academy and he was very successful.
Yeah. I mean, he'd be a great, and you figure they're going to have to do a search, but I think the first question they're going to ask is like, okay, are we going to hire somebody right now? Or are we going to limp our way through till, you know, a hiring really for next year?
Yeah. And then I would guess you want to, you know, one of the things that you like to do in sales is you could say, look, I don't know what happened with you and our company in the past, but I'm here now. So they probably want to wait and make that a clean break so that you're not.
Cause it's going to be, they're going to have to get rid of a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of bad stuff went on. I mean, if I were them, quite honest, I mean, if I was advising them, I would just say, you know, hey, everybody that works here today doesn't work here tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a couple people to show us where the, like, how to turn the lights on, stick around for a year. But just in general, I mean, just anybody that was around that locker room, I don't want them working for me.
Well, and that's a fair thing, because the locker room went so bad. Yeah. And then of course on what people may not realize is Big Ten football media days start on July 26th. Yeah, July 26th. So you've got
you know, I wouldn't go.
That would be a way to think of it. I mean, to be honest with you.
I wouldn't go. I mean, heck, is Kliakoff even going to go to Pac-12 media days? I don't know.
Yeah.
At this rate? Yeah. The commissioner can skip.
Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, I would, if I were Northwestern, I would not participate in media days.
Yeah. Just, that's, I mean, it's just,
there's no good to be had from making the young men answer about, you know, car wash ding-a-ling hit swing.
Yeah, no,
No, there's no good to come from that. I mean, I guess you could do something if you were to, and I don't think you can even say this at media days, but like if you were to say like all questions have to be about football.
Right.
Because the other thing, by the way, is everybody's going to have, it's Northwestern. Everybody's going to have lawyers. Every athlete on that team is going to have an attorney. And they're going to say nothing about what went on.
Right.
So it's just going to be no comment, no comment, no comment. Every single athlete on that team is going to have a lawyer looking after their interests. because they're either worried about defending themselves or they're suing the school.
Yeah.
It's going to, no, you know, one of the two. So there's 150 lawyers involved. It doesn't make sense to me to even go.
So as a final question then, what is there any ray of hope, any, you know, for the long-term good of the Northwestern program? Can creative people with, you know, a focus on developing young men, can they win the day here and in the long run make a stronger program?
All right. Well, can we put our Machiavellian hats on for a minute?
Sure. Let me, here it is. I got it.
It is. We got it. We'll put it on. Northwestern was in bad shape football wise. Last
3 years have been tough.
It's been bad and not getting better.
Right.
And they probably needed to make a change anyway. So they're making a change that needed to be made. Now, this was not the way you wanted to make it. And this is going to hit the players hard. But I mean, you need it. I don't want to say I hate to say this about awesome young men, because here's the thing is, I bet that if I was trying to hire somebody, that I would probably want any player in that Northwestern football team to work for me. They're probably great. They're great kids, I bet. Some of them made a mistake. A lot of them probably hated what was going on, but they're great kids. And so it sucks to say this, but this was part of the same issue that Colorado had, by the way. Colorado had a lot of great kids who weren't good enough to play in the Pac-12. And Northwestern has a lot of great kids that aren't good enough to play in the Big Ten, at least as we've seen the last 4 years, basically. So, you know, you need a new team and you need new coaches. And you're going to need a lot of lawyers.
So do it right and make sure you get the right values at the beginning.
So the right coach, right values, and you never go back. And these are hard conversations. So I've actually had to sit in on a lot of these interviews, which we've done with fraternity kids, you know, when this stuff goes south and we have to decide. I mean, I remember with a group at Texas Tech, and one of the kids who was most responsible for the bad stuff was unquestionably the best guy in the whole group. And he was emotionally wrecked about, you know, it just got out of hand and we should never have let it. And it was my responsibility and I failed. And I remember, by the way, I thought most of the other group was just kind of worthless. I was like, just kick them all out and start over.
Yeah.
And I was like, actually, I said the best guy in the darn place is the guy who's responsible for this. And so it's going to be hard. It's going to be sad, but now it may come out that maybe this is somehow not as widespread as we think. I doubt it, but we'll have to see.
Yep.
Be a lot of transfers.
Yeah. So it's probably safe to say that the bottom has not been hit yet for Northwestern football. and we'll have to see where things go. We will at Illini Guys, we'll be covering it. We've got a Medill graduate who's actually one of our former writers.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, so we will be
having, you guys know Medill, they're smart kids.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yes, they are. And
by the way, they should be really proud.
I totally agree.
And Northwestern as a school, if you're a Northwestern alum, you should be proud as hell tonight of your students who uncovered this and brought this to light. And quite honestly, I think you should be proud of President Schill, who stood up and said, this is wrong and I'm taking charge and dealing with it. So this is a hard night for Northwestern fans, but I do think there's a lot for you guys to be proud of and you have a bright future.
Yep. Yep. Well, we'll leave it at that. I tell you, thank you, Tony, for coming on.
Thank you, Mike. Go Illini.
Yeah. Yeah. We will be covering this again as it's one of the, it's basically one of Illinois' two rivals. So we feel like we need to cover it. Tony said, we may be laughing a little bit instead of crying, but we do want to hope that this ends up at the other side, wherever that may be, is a better place for Northwestern football. So if you want to hold on 1 second, we'll be right back after these commercial moments. Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across this great nation, or halfway across the planet, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Whether it's game results or what's going on in recruiting behind the scenes, IlliniGuys.com covers it. Only $99 a year, and you get a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button that's right next to the 7-day free trial, and we'd love to have you as a subscriber. IlliniGuys.com. I'd like to thank Tony Altimore for being our guest this evening. He is a strategy consultant. He runs a fascinating Twitter feed. If you want to get some ideas about the conference realignment, what the value of individual schools is, and really take a lot of data from different points and kind of merge them together with sports, Tony is fantastic, and he has PowerPoints that are just fascinating to read. Go to at TJ Altimore. That's TJ Altimore. It is a good read, and we really thank him for coming on tonight. This is Mike Kegley, and I will tell you that we will watch this situation up north progress and hope that on the other end, things come out positive, but it could be a long journey to get there. With that, folks, I'm going to say farewell and go Illini.